A Florida preacher's threat to burn copies of the Quran on the anniversary of the 9/11 terrorist attacks was canceled after worldwide pressure. Yesterday, two people died in protests in Afghanistan that were triggered by the threatened burning of that sacred text of Islam. The controversy over the Quran got one local historian thinking about its rich history in the United States. While many of today's Americans may think of the Quran as an exotic or foreign book, several of our nation's founders were quite familiar with it and even owned their own copies. Joining us to talk about this is Ted Widmer. He's the author of a Boston Sunday Globe piece called People of the Book. He's also the director of the John Carter Brown Library at Brown University. Professor Widmer, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you.
You write in your piece that John Adams, the second president of the United States, had a copy of the Quran. Now, we're talking about the early 1800s. Why almost 200 years ago would John Adams have had a Quran on his bookshelf?
Well, he was a man of the Enlightenment. He read widely in the world's cultures, and it wasn't the most unusual thing to have a Quran. Several other important early Americans also did, including his great partner and occasional rival, Thomas Jefferson.
That copy of the Quran, John Adams' copy, in his personal library was, I understand, actually printed here in the U.S. Now, again, early 1800s, we're not talking about some copy that someone brought home from their foreign travels to the Middle East.
That's correct. It was printed in Springfield, Massachusetts, 1806, by a rather modest-level printer, and really not wide-scale production at all, but the amazing thing is that it was printed at all out there in the Connecticut Valley.
So would this have been a special request printing, or would they just do a few and then they had a few buyers?
I think so. There are some ads from 1806 in local newspapers, and the first one announces that it's coming, and then after a couple months, the seller announces that he's willing to take vegetables instead of cash, so maybe they weren't selling so many copies.
But nevertheless, there were certainly people willing to buy copies.
There were a few out there, and John Adams was one of them, and that book still exists in the Boston Public Library.
Ah. As the founding fathers in this country were thinking about building this new country, they were, of course, doing that based in part on religious tolerance. And it wasn't just about Protestantism and Catholicism. They were also thinking about how to integrate Islam. Is that right?
That is correct. There were almost no practicing Muslims that any of them were aware of in the United States, but it was very important to them to get right with the idea of future diversity. And they held up Islam as an example of the kind of religion that ultimately the United States would have to deal with and either accept into the body politic or not. So they had very interesting debates about whether a Muslim might become president 400 years in the future.
They really did have those debates.
There was a very interesting debate in the North Carolina state ratifying convention for the Constitution, and they were all writing about it in letters to each other, and some were against it. I mean, they were not unanimous on any point, basically, but some were very much for it, and Jefferson, who's obviously one of the most important, was absolutely in favor of embracing anyone's right to worship in any way he or she chose.
In fact, you write in your article that Thomas Jefferson also had a copy of the Quran that he bought when he was studying law, and that he was even trying to learn Arabic. How did Jefferson's understanding of Islam affect his approach to religious tolerance?
I'm pretty sure he was interested in this book, like Adams, as a man of the Enlightenment, just interested in the world's cultures, and also as a legal scholar, because a lot of the Quran is instructions on how to live your life, how to live a virtuous life. It's not that far from a legal book. So Jefferson was getting a lot out of it in his edition, unlike Adams's, had a very long preface that talked a lot about the history of the Arab peoples in the region. So it's almost as much a history and geography book as a religious textbook.
We've been talking about presidents that had the Quran. But back in the 1700s and 1800s, what would have been the average American's exposure to Islam, to Muslims, to the Quran? Would this have been very distant?
Not many Americans would have encountered a Muslim, except there are a couple interesting exceptions. New Englanders and other Americans were sometimes taken captive on the high seas by North African pirates, basically. As New Englanders traveled to Europe and to the Mediterranean, their ships were sometimes taken captive and then ransomed. And it was a real problem going back to almost the beginnings of settlement here in New England.
What about here on our home turf? Would a New Englander in the 1700s or 1800s ever have come across a Muslim in New England?
Well, there's one huge category that's very interesting, but we know very little about it. And it does appear that a certain percentage of African Americans, or Africans, I should say, because the first generation of African slaves are African, practice Islam in some way. I mean, they might have practiced it openly. They might have kept their sense of their religion quiet to conceal it. And whether or not they had actual Qurans is a very interesting question. There are some known examples, a small number, not too many, but the fact that there are a few suggests that there might have been more out there.
What message do you want readers to get out of your Globe article?
That the Quran is not as external to our history as we might think. That it's yes, the central scripture of a religion that is, for the most part, centered in places far from the United States, but that we have always had exposure to it. We've had Muslims in our midst. We've had very curious Americans like Jefferson and Adams who were reading a surprising amount in the Quran. And that if it's part of our history, it's not threatening. And that's something that's comforting to know as Americans. And it's a message we should get out to the rest of the world as well.
Ted Widmer, thank you for coming on Radio Boston.
Thanks, Sasha. My pleasure.
Ted Widmer is the director of the John Carter Brown Library at Brown University. His article, The Founder's Quran, appeared in yesterday's Boston Globe. For a link to the full article, go to our website, wbur.org/Boston.